We want to get the lunch on schedule, so actually you can begin to eat as I speak briefly. I'm Chris Long, Vice President of Glenmead and former President of ISI. I'm glad to have Charlie Copeland, who toppled me in a bloody coup here. So if you don't know Charlie, I encourage you to meet Charlie, the new President of ISI. My duty as luncheon chairman are few but important. And they've been outlined to me very carefully by Julie Flick. The first thing Julie asked me to do was to call us to order, and what better way to call the luncheon to order than to begin in prayer. So I'd like to invite up Jacqueline Otto Isaacs, who will lead us in an invocation. Jacqueline.
Sorry to stop the eating that you were just invited to start, but let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we are thankful that we can come together and worship you as we are. One of the beautiful things about the gospel is that there are no holy days and no holy places, because all days are holy, and any place where you are glorified is holy. Bless us today as we break bread in this place and in this community. Bless this food and those who work to prepare and serve it. Bless our continued conversations about the Constitution and the rule of law. As this Easter season, we are looking forward to the day that you alone will rule, and we look back towards the cross, where a new covenant, a new Constitution, was authored. A covenant of which none of us are worthy, but in which any and all of us who call on your name may participate. A covenant that when completed, there will be no more study of war, no more futility in our labor, no more darkness of night or darkness of soul, for which we can all say, in Christ's name, amen.
Thank you, Jacqueline. Next, Julie tells me to make a few brief, friendly remarks. I'm incapable of being brief or friendly, so we'll dispense with the pleasantries and move straight into some important announcements. I have the honor of making known the names of new society members, trustees, officers, and a distinguished member. These appointments were approved through a mystical, veiled process that culminated in yesterday's candlelit bacchanalia among the trustees, and which was then ramrodded through the full membership breakfast this morning, as is the society's longstanding tradition. Julie has written that the board approved 22 persons for membership in the society, but what she was unaware of was that the trustee meeting, we had a long, protracted, 40-minute discussion as to whether or not we should use the word persons or individuals. We were evenly divided between Kirkians and Hayekians, and Larry Arne, the eminent college president at Hillsdale, being a college president and very diplomatic, came up with the term technically legal, properly documented, non-member aliens. And so these technically legal, properly documented, non-member aliens will shortly, as is our usual practice, receive invitation letters with acceptance forms in triplicate to be filled out and sent through U.S. Postal Service back to North Adams, Michigan. Now, it's very important that each of you who have been accepted for membership return your application with appropriate legal tender by May 1. If you don't get the check in by May 1, you will be subject to a one-time special member assessment of $72,400 per person to restock the North Adams wine cellar and to continue the ongoing subsidization of the Lipset Old Growth Vineyards in Bordeaux. So the 22 approved members for this year are Debbie Beisner, E. Calvin Beisner, Kurt Byron, Christopher Bissix, William Bonner, Vic Brown, Joan DeLuca, Milton Israti, J.D. Fair, Stephen Grosby, Corey Gustafson, Nisi Hamilton, Jason Jewell, Charles Misager, William Murphy, Dave Porter, Colleen A. Sheehan, Julie Silverbrook, Joseph Stopper, Dr. Paul Teller, Garland Tucker, and James Wallner. So let's please welcome them to the society. We'd also like to announce the new trustees for the 2017 through 2020 class. And we have one important stipulation for the society's board, which is it is to consist of an odd number of disinterested members. I'm happy to tell you that all of the new trustees are, in fact, odd and disinteresting. They include Samuel Gregg, yours truly, David Bob, Hal Hayward, Bobby Hertzberg, and Virginia Arbery. So please welcome the new trustees. Also elected were the new officers, Alejandro Chafuen as president, myself as first vice president, Samuel Gregg as second vice president, Lenore Ely was reelected secretary, David Sturr as treasurer, and Daniel B. Hales as our assistant secretary. So please welcome and give thanks to the officers. And also importantly, as was mentioned last night, we're very honored to have President Reagan's own terrible swift sword, Don Devine, instituted as a distinguished member. So again, let's congratulate Don. I'd also, at the membership meeting this morning, President Arne outlined the incredible international matrix of freedom organizations at whose center is our friend whom we like to call the Pablo Escobar of the International Freedom Movement, Alejandro Chafuen. So Alex, if you'd please come up as the new president and give us an outline of some of the things we should expect in the coming year.
Well, thank you, Chris. I don't know about that analogy. Next time I cross the border. Our next two meetings, I hope you will join us. The next one is will be in Tyson's Corner near Washington, D.C., October 13 and 14. The official title is New Insights in the American Founding. The goal, really, is to give a new and enhanced life to the vision of our founders, basically. We will cover topics from economics to defense, family, and religion, trying to incorporate the best new current thinking in each of those areas looking to the future. After that, we will follow with one in Philadelphia, the Sheraton Society Hill, April 6th to the 8th. And there is the big questions. The official title now is Big Question in Keeping the Republic, but basically the big questions relevant to the mission of the Philadelphia Society, you know, discussing the great intellectual traditions of the free society, and topics such as, you know, from anthropology to science to virtues to crowds, the elites, the aggression, things that we seldom cover, but they are like the deep topics that might influence the direction of the free society. So I will be tapping in several of the members here to help build a good program. So thank you, Chris. Thank you all. It's an immense privilege, you know, for an immigrant. I think I'm the first Latin American who will be president of this society. And believe me, I will take it with a great deal of responsibility, and I will work a lot to make this year very fruitful for the society. And thank you, Larry Arne, and my predecessor, and Chris.
Thank you, Pablo. I mean, Alejandro. And now I'd like to invite up the Papa Doc Duvalier of the Conservative Movement, our own Ed Fulner, who will introduce the Barron Award.
Thanks very much, Chris. Ladies and gentlemen, colleagues, guests, it's always wonderful to be back at a meeting of the Philadelphia Society, particularly when our late Vice President Ben Rogge said, One of its main characteristics is that it very seldom meets in Philadelphia. And I don't think we're... I won't go there. Too many Texans in the crowd here. It was, in fact, a reminder last night when Judge Edith Green opened her remarks by commenting on hearing about the Philadelphia Society from early days in National Review, because the late William Buckley was, of course, one of the true founders of the Philadelphia Society, together with Commodore Don Lipsett, Milton Friedman, and several others. And it was Bill Buckley who put forth the first $100 to open the bank account for the Philadelphia Society. I was the impecunious treasurer, couldn't afford it myself, and it was several years later when the then secretary and I, as the treasurer, were talking about different things, and we decided Lipsett really needed an assistant. And that gets us around to the Barron Award, but first, before I get into that, let me just say, in retrospect, in what Larry said last evening about the Philadelphia Society being a chance for us to talk. And I think about it not only as a chance to talk, but also a chance to listen, to sort out differences that we have among us, libertarians, traditional conservatives, or whoever, about how we can find common ground and about how particularly those of us who inhabit Disneyland on the Potomac can come out into the real world and hear from real people and recharge our intellectual batteries and get away from some of the public policy nonsense that confronts us day in and day out. So these weekends with friends and colleagues at the Philadelphia Society are very special for all of us who come from Washington. I'm here to present the Barron Award. Those of you who had the great honor and pleasure of knowing John von Cannon, who passed just 2 years ago from a recurring bout with cancer, you might recall last year that the very first Barron Award was presented to a charter member of this society, Jameson Campaign. The Barron Award was established by a longtime member of the Philadelphia Society. The purpose of the award is, quote, recognizing that member of the Philadelphia Society who most faithfully exemplifies in word and deed the good fellowship, personal loyalty, intellectual integrity, and moral courage of our beloved friend and colleague, John von Cannon, 1949 to 2015. So we've done this once before, but it is fitting in an organization like the Philadelphia Society. It's always better to have a second annual than to just have a first annual something. And so we thank Neil Freeman for having made possible the perennial gift of the Barron Award. And it's my pleasure today to present this second annual Barron Award to a gentleman who's been with us from the very beginning. He's a bit peripatetic because when I first looked for him to figure out where to recognize him, he was seated at the far table there. He is now seated at the far table over there. He is our distinguished assistant secretary, Daniel B. Hales. Now, the exact history of how Daniel Hales became assistant secretary of the Philadelphia Society is lost in those foggy memories, or maybe it's now called the cloud, but it's there somewhere. But I do remember the conversation with Lipsett and Hales at a meeting, I think, in 1972 or 73. And Don and I had figured this out, that Hales, being an aspiring young lawyer, Maybe we should ask him to help us as assistant secretary. And we proposed it, and he immediately looked at me very seriously and said, "How much?" And I said, "Oh, not very much. You'll have to fill out some forms. You'll have to help Don make sure we stay in good shape with the IRS and with the state and all that." He said, "I'm not talking about that." He said, "I'm a lawyer. How much? How many billable hours?" Well, not many, I'm afraid, over the next 45 years that Dan Hales has been the assistant secretary of the society. Dan Hales is really a remarkable guy. Back in those days, he and campaign and I would spend the day after Thanksgiving every year ostensibly doing Christmas shopping for our spouses. In fact, these older and probably wiser men were inculcating in me a love for good bourbon in the form of old fashions at the University Club in Chicago before they convinced me that we had to go up to Marshall Fields where I was supposed to buy various nice things for my bride. Still have my Marshall Fields credit card somewhere. Marshall Fields, of course, long gone and replaced by... Anyway, there we are. Not replaced by, succeeded by Macy's. Dan Hales, father of three, grandfather of six, godfather of, last count, I think, 42 around the country. Dan Hales, hunter, sportsman, fisherman. Far as I know, the only thing he's ever successfully shot is a raccoon, which adorns his head as he marches up and down LaSalle Street or Michigan Avenue in the dead of winter in Chicago. Much admiration from fellow Chicagoans, thinking that that's a very practical way to be attired in Chicago. That's true. You might have seen pictures of him wearing his coonskin hat. He is a good friend. He's a strong believer in what we all believe in the society. He has helped us in innumerable ways, not only in terms of keeping those forms flowing and on time, but in terms of meeting payrolls and helping find unlikely sources of funds for this organization over the past decades. And he truly does represent those attributes that Neil Freeman so nicely described in terms of what the Barron Award is all about. Dan Hales, will you come up, please, and receive the Barron Award for this year? I knew you would.
Well, I'm totally shocked. Ed, thank you very much. By golly. I'll be very brief, because this society means so much to me. You know, I'm a practicing lawyer, just a slug in Chicago, working month to month. And I come to the Philadelphia Society to get my intellectual capabilities renewed. I don't know of another organization that I'm a member of that does so much for me. That's what I tried to pass on to our younger applicants and members yesterday when we met. It's not only a forum for receiving and thinking about the grand ideas, ideas that generated even before 1789 that led to the adoption of the Constitution in that year, but it's a place of networking and meeting the best of the best in the libertarian, conservative, freedom movement. And I'm so honored to have served and been invited to be among academic giants, giants like Ed Fulmer and others that have done something and built something in this country to save, and give us the best chance we have to save a free society. So I'm humbled, and I thank you profusely. And I never did say how much.
Thanks, Daniel.
Thank you.
Thank you, buddy. Oh, yeah. Here's the... Here's the... here somewhere. It's an eagle. The eagle has landed, yeah.
Gee, that is beautiful. Golly, that will be on my desk forever. Thank you.
Gotta keep a few surprises. Ladies and gentlemen, continue enjoying your dinner. Thanks, Dan, very much. Congratulations.